Claudius, welcome to the episode 6 of Below the Fold. Great to have you here. Give us a small introduction.
Nice to meet you, Ibrahim. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Most welcome.
I'm Claudius Boller. I love to build businesses. It's been my passion since school. And ideally, these businesses are global ecosystem accelerators and enablers. So at school, I started to set up my first business, coding websites, assembling computers, also for the B2B space. I actually rolled some of the very first server racks into Adidas, the company. I lived close towards the headquarters in Herzogenaurach in Germany. And then I studied media economics, worked for Germany's biggest media company. I think they have 145,000 employees
You did all that before you study even?
I studied media economics. That I went there.
All right. Yeah.
I had my business for about 9 years and then I sold it pretty much before I moved to Dubai.
Wow.
But yeah, so I worked in the big media company and it was all about streaming, digital entertainment platform, white label services. It was the days of the annoying ringtones, the crazy frog. Great cash cows from a business point of view. And yeah, for this business, I moved to Dubai about 17 and a half years ago, set up this business here with my previous manager and also stayed a couple of months in South Africa, launched it down there, was thrown in the cold water of raising funds with VCs here in the region, family offices and private equity. Crazy on its own, but we're not here to talk about it today. And then I joined Universal Music Group, world's largest music label, to help set up operations here and kind of build also the music ecosystem from the ground up. They also asked me in the beginning, what do you think? Can you help build this business up? And my advice was like free consulting right away. Don't do it. Don't come. There is no monetization for music here in the MENA region or Africa, except for South Africa.
Yeah.
So the strategy was really to forget the core business and build up additional other revenue streams of producing TV shows, etc., and licensing business, bring in concerts, launching concerts here, etc. And then I joined Spotify as the managing director for Africa, Middle East. And in the end, they also asked me to help launch South Asia, except for India. And I think it's roughly 70 markets. So yeah, that was my last big stint until summer last year. In between, I had the opportunity to work with a few angel syndicate and family offices and built an insurtech company as a co-founder as much as my time permitted since I was full on for Spotify. And then I stepped out last summer to actually build this business, helped to build a prop tech business, helped to build a mental health AI company and also a media network where I invested beginning of this year, Next Broadcast. So there I am as the chief business officer and joined a fantastic team with a fantastic runway in the audio advertising space.
Wow, interesting, impressive. Quite an illustrious career.
Thank you.
We're here to talk about audio, right? And the audio landscape. Do you want to tell me more about the space? Why did you choose this space in particular?
Sure. It's cool to be on a podcast to talk about podcasts.
100%, of course.
100%, of course.
I mean, we have to, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it's fascinating. As a kid, my dad was in consumer electronics. So believe it or not, we had a radio in every room in the house. My dad also back in the days, he was a bit of a DJ. A DJ back in the days was not about how cool you can mix things and tune things together. Yeah. It was more like knowing really the latest music, playing tracks. Exactly.
Yeah.
Hitchhiking to London and going to some secret underground stores and listening to the radio over there to figure out, okay, what's the latest stuff that then might be hitting also the charts in Germany a little bit of time later. He was also playing in a band, etc. So we always had instruments at home, pianos, guitars, etc. So I have this very intimate connection to audio, to music, and I wrote my thesis about it, etc. And then, of course, when I joined Spotify, the podcast play was massive. It was really a game changer. I think the investment was more than $1 billion that Spotify did over a period of 4 or 5 years to acquire technology, content, production houses, etc., in order to emerge into the space. And I've really seen the transition from a platform perspective, as Spotify is concerned, DSPs are concerned. We have similar things with Apple Podcasts, for example, and the Apple ecosystem and other platforms as well, but also how this medium has changed. And it's something we can talk about it more probably in detail, is about this very intimate connection that someone has when listening to music.
Mm-hmm.
You become a real fan. You connect with the artist, but also as a podcaster and a podcast host, you're building this really intimate connection. You're right into the brain, literally, of people, right? And you can click, and there's chemistry, there's a neural connection there. And I found it extremely fascinating. And now, since brands are taking up on the space, it's absolutely, we see real numbers on the table, how it extremely sticks. And podcast is kind of the underdog, a bit of the rebel.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know about the history of podcasts.
I would love to know. I mean, I have to agree with you. The level of attentiveness that users put in when they listen to podcasts, it's like they're reading a book. I think it might be even more sensitive than reading a book, because you're hearing a voice as well. Yeah. And as you hear this voice, it's like you're reading a book, but it's also the element of the voice of the host. I think that plays a role as well. I want to talk a little bit more about podcasts, but before we jump into that, I want us to look at also the audio landscape. And I would love to know more, or get your input as well, about what are the prevalent forms of audio today before we get into podcasts, into details. So, for example, radio. Is radio still a thing? I mean, radio has moved almost digitally, right, today. I think people still play the radio in their cars. I mean, to a certain extent, I'm not sure. But yeah, what do you think? Is radio, dare I say, dead?
I think radio faces a massive challenge, and not just since yesterday. Since you and me started to listening on digital music services, radio has been struggling a lot. But radio is still a very strong medium that has its right for its existence. It's ease of use, press a button and it works. Jump in the car, press a button, it works, right?
Yeah.
But see, it's programmed to a certain degree, especially on the music side. So you have one DJ that needs to hit the music taste of millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in a world where I want to choose what I want to listen to. It depends on my mood.
Yeah.
And there are certain hits that I really love a lot, and there's also music that puts me off. Mm-hmm. And I think I can speak for many people. So radio doesn't really fit into all the moments. And then, of course, there's the obvious struggle of not being able to measure and track. Yes, you can do studies and research, etc. However, now with podcasts, with the latest technologies, and also in music as well, you can highly target your niche, build out engagement. If it sponsors, you bake your content in for good, for a lifetime, right? You can be really strategic about this, but also you can be very tactical about it.
Yeah. So I mean, as everything is becoming on demand today, obviously radio is not the best provider for on-demand music. As you said, it's one DJ playing one tune, one track the entire time, not able to cater to different requests, or not able to personalize the music.
Right.
What else is there? So we have radio, we have audibles or audiobooks as well. We have music streaming, right, which is more on demand.
Correct.
Did I miss anything? You have podcast.
We have audio and gaming, for example.
Right.
It's a growing and nice advertising format as well.
So is it gamers listening to music as they play?
Yeah, especially there's freemium games, free games that you play that are just simply ad funded, and you play it, and then because there's sound, usually you... On Instagram, you don't have sound output on very often. But in games, usually you have it on. You like the sound effects. You're driving a car or whatever game you play. And then in many of these games, you have a top banner. And then you can overlay an audio ad, which is quite nice, because it usually your brain switches off the ad that is on top.
Yeah.
But when you have the audio piece, it points your attention. Special offer now for XYZ. Just click the ad on above, and after that, continue playing your game.
Yeah,
that's pretty simple, right? It's also a niche thing. You need to consider the audience that you reach with that. Yeah. But I think it's
Yeah. Sorry. No, I was gonna say, I always enjoyed the music in GTA whenever I played.
Amazing, right?
Grand Theft Auto, and you enter a car, and you can even switch between different stations.
Amazing.
I really enjoyed it.
So. Love it.
So I guess it is a thing, right?
Tells you how important the music programming is in all these games. Imagine playing a game without music, or watching a movie without music.
No, that wouldn't be fun.
Yeah,
you don't want to cruise in a game in a car without some hip hop music, or a rap track or anything like that.
And advertisers understand that. At Spotify, there was a successful campaign for a car manufacturer, one of the top European German brands actually, and they. I did a massive campaign with Spotify in the US where you could put your destination there where you want to go.
Yeah.
And it creates your unique road trip playlist depending on the duration of the trip, the countryside you're going through, and your listening habits and behavior. So it's 100% unique, customized to each individual.
So this was a campaign for a broad audience of automotive audience. Was it in-game?
That was not in-game. That was just a Spotify audio advertising campaign.
Okay. So they curated a list, a playlist, basically.
It's dynamic. It's machine learning. Right. AI, if you will. Yeah. That creates this customized playlist depending on your music listening behavior, the duration of your trip, and the countryside that you go through. Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. And they delivered their message about their cars, their car features in that playlist. So they branded
Absolutely.
It, basically.
Absolutely. They branded it.
Yeah.
But also then you deliver the messages there, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Because I think that's a very important thing to highlight, that on the DSPs like Apple, Spotify Premium, you can't play advertising except for podcasts, because here the advertising is baked in. Yeah. So you know how podcasts started, actually?
No, please tell me. Enlighten me.
So it started in 2003 when some guys in the US had the idea, when RSS feeds just started, so to read blogs, etc., and to distribute news and information and text. And they thought, let's do this for audio because it's so much more convenient when I'm on the move or when I'm ironing my shirt. So I think this was an example somebody put out there at the time. I can actually listening to it, because the concept of text to speech didn't really exist yet, and at least it was not usable for the masses. And that was born out of as a tech idea, quite unlike all the other media formats. All the other media formats were created by brands, predominantly political parties, to do propaganda, to put certain messaging out. This is how radio was established, right? And radios were subsidized to bring it out, but to reach the masses. Yeah. But podcast is different, even in that sense, from the first minute.
Yeah,
that's how it started. And
it's on the internet, right? Which is...
Yeah, exactly. The internet as well. Now the opportunities are only slowly are being embraced by creators, by big media houses, and by advertisers as well.
Okay. Cool. I feel like we're slowly moving into the podcast, but I still want to push it back and maybe talk a little bit more about other things before we get to the podcast. And I know it's important, it's interesting, and we'll get there. I want us also to touch a little bit before that on music streaming platforms. And I feel like we owe it to, you know, to these big tech music streaming platforms before we get to podcasts. Do you think they helped accelerate the podcast scene?
Massively. Yeah? So they help each other.
Right.
A lot. So music streaming was a huge revolution. So I think in the year 2000, some of the last big artist deals were signed, with big advances being paid to artists, until piracy really killed the traditional monetization in the music industry, which is a physical CD distribution, right? A bit of vinyl, etc.
Yeah.
And it took the industry a long time to actually recover from this. And that is clearly to the success of the streaming platforms. And I had discussions in Egypt with the press as well when we launched Spotify. They say, why would I ever pay for music? It's on radio. It should be free, right?
Right.
And still there is people trying to resist it and say, no, I don't want to pay, because music labels should be paying artists even better, etc. It had always been free. I mean, I grew up in Germany and I had to count my coins in the record shop because I could have afford only one or two CDs per month. So I'd listen to like 10 to make a very tough decision and choose those two that I can afford. Mm-hmm. So I paid for music. But how literally piracy was also brought down is simply by usability.
Yeah.
And also to a free tier at Spotify. For example, Apple doesn't have a free tier, but Anchami, Spotify, Deezer, these platforms, they have a free tier where you can play music for free.
Yeah.
So on that question, why should I ever pay for music? It's like, just try Spotify or whatever platform you want. There's a free tier and enjoy it. And you have the whole world of all music at your fingertips, in your pocket, always.
Yeah.
And the systems are so smart. I think Spotify has now about 550 million monthly active users. And it's literally 550 million versions of Spotify, because it really caters to your unique individual taste. And it gets better as you use it. It's a complete revolution. At a very simple model, $10, $12, depending on the market that you're in, right?
Yeah, so there was this migration between CDs to digital audio. In between, there were these pirated websites.
Massive.
Yeah, how did that happen, right? So,
well, there was no regulation very much on the internet, right? You could just copy tracks and put them on websites. I remember friends and me, we utilized FTP service at AOL. in order to like exchange MP3 files. I remember my first MP3 file was Eric Clapton, and I found it on a server, didn't know what it was. I saw this track is just 3.5 megabyte.
Yeah.
Downloaded it and said, cannot be possible because a WAV file, if you rip something from a CD, 60 megabytes. I said, how on earth is that possible? It must be really crappy quality. I tried to open it, didn't have a tech or software to open it to play it. And I was sitting on my desktop for like 2-3 months until I read in a magazine about MP3. And I downloaded this software. It was just like play and stop button. It was like very simple. So you open file, get into the file and press the play button. And I was couldn't believe my ears how amazing the quality was of this MP3. I played it again and again. This is fantastic. So I realized this is going to change the distribution of music, right?
Yeah.
But fast forward, and then there were these torrent sites, et cetera, right?
Yeah, Pirate Bay.
Yeah, at Bertelsmann, where I worked, we actually had a completely German over-engineered, the only ever legal digital peer-to-peer streaming platform using a kind of crappy digital rights management done with Microsoft together. So it wasn't really usable. But what really helped is the usability. Now you have it on your phone. It's nicely curated. You can lean back and you can be more leaning forward by going into the system and typing in music that you like or genres and you discover.
Yeah, I think that the hardware was pretty influential, right? We moved from CD players to MP3 players.
The iPod.
And now the iPod, right? The iPod revolutionized the entire ecosystem, I suppose.
Massive. It was also very controversial with the price point. I think 99 cents for a track was something that I think everybody was surprised that the music industry agreed to it, because for a single, if you buy a single, you need to pay dollars or $6 and then this.
That's for a single. Yeah, it's a lot. I remember CDs were for like $14.
Albums?
Back then. Yeah, albums. Yeah. So it would make sense to charge a dollar for a track, I suppose. I don't know. Knowing that an album could hold 12 tracks, I guess, or 12 or 15 tracks.
Some albums were more expensive, but you still find people talking about dilution of music. And one major issue there is also that prices, unless recently, like 1 or 2 years, price increases didn't really happen. I think Spotify was always at about $9.99 or €9.99.
Monthly membership. Yeah.
And we have, at Spotify, we had these heavy streamers.
Yeah.
Maybe one important anecdote that also Daniel Ek, the founder of Spotify, has been asked a lot at Spotify internally and said, like, why don't we launch video? Right, there's so much more engagement. There's YouTube. How do we fight YouTube? Maybe also put the music videos in there. And his answer really struck me. It was pretty much two things. One thing is that the listening time on Spotify is up to 3 times higher compared to video streaming platforms like YouTube, TikTok.
Yeah.
And why is that? It's because it's audio. There's even listeners that play longer than their awake time. From early morning, you use it connected to your alarm clock and up until night to help you fall asleep, etc.
Yeah.
And if the introduction of video came in, you're literally like cutting down your screen. You're diluting the value of what it brings. And it struck me. And the second thing is pretty much that, wow, everybody's fighting for screen time in terms of video, but Spotify was already ruling the game very much on music streaming, right? It's a pure and perfect, to a certain degree, audio product.
Right? Yeah, you can multitask, right? When you're listening to music, you can do a lot of things, sports, work, study.
Usage was double than Netflix.
Yeah.
Probably still is. Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, when you're watching a video, obviously you need your eyes. You can't be driving and watching a video.
Shouldn't be,
Yeah, we're not recommended. And podcasts. So I feel like I need more effort when I'm listening to podcasts versus music. When the other day I was running in the park and I had a podcast on and I was doing fine, keeping up with the pace, with the goal. And then as soon as I switched to music, I started running faster. And I felt like there was a relief on my brain because of the attentiveness that I put behind podcasts. And now, speaking of podcasts, how do you feel we're doing here in the region versus the rest of the world?
I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Simply, if you look at the numbers, I think Saudi is the number 2 in the world of consumption per capita, followed by the UAE. Egypt is pretty high up as well. And that is a very encouraging sign. And we see a very vibrant podcast ecosystem rising. Also, Arabic podcasts are really booming. And they reach a global diaspora.
Yeah.
Are we talking 380, 400 million Arab speakers, first or second language across the world?
Yeah.
So that's really massive. And the quality of production, especially from Saudi and the UAE, is extraordinary. It's really good. Top quality productions, etc. But also with the help of the new tools that are out there. Now it's so much easier. At Spotify, when we set up the office here, there was a question, should we invest into a big podcast studio, etc.? And we said, look, we need to reduce the barrier of entry. This shouldn't be an intimidating scenario. Like, this is very casual here, which is wonderful. Only yeah. difference from a conversation is that you have a good microphone here. But when people hear themselves on a good microphone like this, Rode, it's mind-blowing, because you feel like, oh, I could be a host in a stadium, or it really makes this difference. But also, it doesn't always have to be video. It reduces the barrier of entry also, because you can simply, Spotify bought a platform called Anchor. It's an app. You download, press the button, record it. There's some pre-production tools there, and you press the button and boom, you're on all podcast platforms across the world.
Right. The hosting tech, right? Behind distribution.
So this is the distribution piece and hosting, exactly, yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
but the ease of use is just fantastic, right? You don't need to go to a full-fledged $1 million studio to record a podcast, right? And I think the issue with podcasts that it has, it grows very organically. And we see this with brands at Next Broadcast too. Once they are getting involved into podcasts and they have their strategy right, this is really, really crucial, it sticks. And they keep on investing in it. And then they really harness it. It makes massive differences. Yeah.
I feel like there are a lot of emerging tech also that are facilitating this growth, right? That are, for example, helping podcast creators monetize, that are helping to educate brands. And I think these play a role in helping grow the space, podcast space. Yeah. Yeah. Anything comes to mind?
I talk about tools, but first also what you said about that when you were running, you felt like podcast, you need to concentrate and you wanted to up your pace.
Right.
That you then said, okay, let me switch to music. And this is, I resonate with that, but it's so much about what do you want in a particular situation, right? For the right moment, at the right time, for the right, I want to say like content, is crucially important, right? If you go for a quick run, 20 minutes, I don't play podcast myself, but if I cycle out in Al-Qudra for 2 hours or 3 hours, I don't need to watch the traffic there. It's fantastic. Yeah. And then a podcast is mind-blowing. Right? So I see my clock, I see my performance, I keep on pushing, but this is like a marathon for me.
Yeah.
So it depends on it. You can really dive. It's almost meditational, right? You really
Zone
dive.
Two, right?
Exactly.
They call it,
exactly. So it really depends. But here, to the use of podcast, it's not just this format, right? There's the scripted podcasts. There is, and this is the biggest booms in podcasts were happening 10, 12, 15 years ago. Yeah, exactly. When crime podcasts were coming out, where you binge listen to those. And we've seen this at Spotify, that some, when a new show came out and it was like going extremely well, we pushed it and promoted it because people were like listening over 1 or 2 days, the whole season. Because it's so addictive. It's really sticky.
That's just
great. But also there's podcasts like 2-3 minute kids podcast to brush your teeth, right? So nice quick stories while you brush your teeth. There's a toothbrush podcast, right? Or just some jokes, comedy.
So versatile, right?
Super versatile, short form content. And that's also one of the reasons why YouTube is the number two search engine in the world, is because people look for contextual content, right? They look for it. And same on Spotify as well. When you use that, you drive home before the weekend and you Google things like how to build a treehouse for my kids. And then you Google that and you have a 1 hour commute or 30 minutes and you like get these instructions there and it gets you going, or you learn something new. I've co-built about 20 businesses. And when I get into sometimes a new industry, whatever, podcast is my first go-to because it's so easy and accessible. But this habit is not the natural. It's not like everybody watching TV, you just press the button on the remote, lean back. This, you need to develop this habit. But once you've done, it really sticks. It becomes the medium of choice. Again, we've seen this at Spotify, the transition there. And there was this big concern also when you said, okay, now we're pushing podcasts. What does it happen to the music side of things? Mm-hmm. Will it go down? No, it has just extended engagement massively, listening time. Yeah. Of course, there's few cases. Like I have to say, I listen less music because I've been really going hard on podcasts. I'm making the best out of it for myself, right? But we've not seen really an impact there on the music side as well. Quite the other way around, right? So people look for more companion content. other content around. TV shows, they now have podcast companion content. The Crown, if you know, that's, I think, on Netflix it played. There was, I think, The Crown also was released on a weekly basis, each episode. And then I think the day before the according companion podcast episode was coming out, it's a bit like behind the scene, what did the producers do to research, where did they get the clothes from, had interviews of the actors on the show, etc. So for super fandom, it's really...
Even when you look at YouTubers, right? I mean, I can't recall a YouTuber who hasn't started his own podcast, right?
Yeah.
Am I right? So it's just an entirely different space, or incremental, I guess, that's engagement area, right? That any content creator could tap into to further engage with their audience.
Yeah,
it's just a fascinating space. So we wanted to talk a little bit more about the tools before that.
And
you were saying that there's just so many different scenarios to listen to audio versus video. Then this is what makes developing content on audio much more compelling than video. And we spoke about, you talked about the different use cases of using YouTube, for example, search engine to find different, useful content. I'm interested to know about the search engine for audio. I don't know if you have that kind of information, but what are people searching for in there?
Again, the user decides on what is most usable. So I think there were debates about, it should be like a dedicated search engine for audio, and there were a few pop-ups like this. Also, like, where do I find the cheapest MP3, right? Such search engine hasn't succeeded because it's about the convenience. So today, users really go to that platform of choice to look for the content of choice. So if you're a heavy Apple Music user, you probably also consume podcasts and Apple Podcasts, right? If you're on Spotify, now it's merged also because of the likes of Joe Rogan brought to Spotify. It really helped to get new audiences to get involved with Spotify and has changed user behavior.
Yeah.
But it's funny to see the uptake. So and again, in the music space, music always was lean forward when you wanted to play it. You need to go to the record player, put the vinyl on. You didn't like that song, you needed to walk there, move it over, right? Then we had CDs, we had a remote, right? You can skip. Sometimes you had an album where there was only one smash hit and the rest, you didn't really like it, right?
Yeah.
It was pretty annoying. You always had to like... And the same with piracy and the same with the first music platforms, even Spotify. You had to search and go there. Then there was this period of lean back. Auto-generated playlists, AI playlists, AI DJs on Spotify and all this stuff. So you could lean back and, okay, try to detect my mood depending on the time of the day. It says it was more lean back. Yeah. Now what we see... Very much because of podcasts, those DSPs, those digital streaming platforms, seeing more uptake because people becoming more creative, right? Like in AI, you think about, okay, how do I put this prompt to get really what I'm looking for, to get results?
Yeah.
And the creativity is fantastic. Now people express themselves sharing on social media. Like when there was the lunar eclipse, the track Lunar Eclipse of the Heart from Trended, right? These type of things happen, right?
Right.
Because then people look it up. How can I express myself, my mood, and which song do I connect with, etc. And so they do with podcasts, where people share podcasts as well.
Yeah. I've been seeing also this short podcast content, like a 5-minute encouraging, motivational audio.
Audio
content, which I found very interesting.
Very, very much. Also in the mental health space, people looking for self-help and self-care, etc. I love listening to Diaries of a CEO, for example.
Yeah.
Masters of Scale, right? So these are podcasts that I like and I resonate. I connect with the host and the guests and I like how he curates, etc. So here I can binge watch. I can go for a run or a cycle ride and just keep on listening, don't need to specifically search. So it works for both cases very well, lean in and lean back.
Yeah.
Which I think, and also
like you said, like podcasts are not necessarily there to put down music, right? Would you say that maybe podcasts to music are the documentaries to action movies?
Look, I think what we've seen is that the days are, think about a brand, okay? Yeah. A brand, they want to get a tactical story out there. They go to the big three to advertise. They get some nice reports.
Yeah.
And that's about it. It looks beautiful, pre-configured. But what brands today need, may it be tactical, might be long-term,
right.
invest is to have a more holistic view
yeah.
on what they want to achieve and also make sure that they measure and track this. And therefore, it's difficult to say, focus on this or focus on that. It really depends on the specific case.
Mm.
And it's up to an art. I mean, you have tons of social media platforms. You have so many tools out there that you as a creator can use and decide. And also, we're in a world where you can experiment and see what really works for you and your brand. So as a creator, as an influencer, as a YouTuber, as a thought leader, but also as a brand, it's important that they look broad, experiment, also utilize the latest tools and technology to actually get to fast results.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, look, I think audio is undoubtedly just a very important touch point that brands, you mm-hmm. know, can tap into and achieve good incremental results.
Yeah.
It's undeniable that it's a part of consumer journey today. Listening to music, listening to a podcast, it's growing. I think there may be one challenge though that I'd love to get your input on is here in the region, the perception is many of the users have a paid subscription, right? Especially in countries with big, good, decent disposable income, right? Like Saudi Arabia, UAE.
Yeah.
I think there's still, you know, a lot of things that brands can do to tap into paid audio users. And I think it's healthy also, right? Is it not healthy
Absolutely.
To have a good, you know, share of paid users here?
Yeah. So if you look at the Nordics and can speak for Spotify numbers, I think in the Nordics, it's rough 96%. Are actually premium subscribers. So I don't think there's ad sales teams anymore. And I want to quote the previous managing director of the Nordics that some of the advertising to promote Spotify Premium was done in homes, in the magazines that were put out in homes for elderly people. I kid you not. Right? So it's really the last, sorry to say, audience to actually bring on board. Right? Conversions rate or the adoption rates here in these regions are roughly about 20%.
Yeah,
but it's growing very, very well and steady and slightly exponential to all the efforts by Spotify and Xiaomi and so on. Now, Apple doesn't have a free tier, right? It's purely paid. And in the Apple environment, apart from promoting a mobile app, you have no way to actually advertise towards the Apple audience, except for podcast.
Yeah.
And that is really down to music artists and labels are being paid by the subscriptions, and the advertising free tier was a site and a byproduct in order to create some sort of monetization. The free tier is used as a funnel to make everybody pay at some point eventually. However, a podcast, you can't take away the little monetization back in the days that Spotify's podcasters could have if you as a platform don't give them any tools to monetize, right? Because they're not receiving any, it's really important to understand, of the revenues that Spotify is collecting out of the subscription. It only goes to the music pool. It doesn't go into podcasts. So, and that was a big challenge for podcasters, that they could not monetize their content. And there's lots of quality, highly trusted, brand safe content out there. But now with the new tools that are out there, so you can highly identify a huge range of podcasts where you can sponsor the traditional way. So it's not that the top 0.1% of podcasters can find a sponsor. No, it's like millions of podcasters that find a sponsor now.
Yeah.
But also programmatic advertising, highly targeted dynamic ad inclusion. These tools are being supported now. At Next Broadcast Media, in theory, the reach is 850 million listeners because it goes to all podcast streaming platforms in the world, right?
Yeah.
And you can highly target niches, which is an absolutely game changer. So now it's very easy for podcasters to start monetizing tomorrow, and it's very easy for advertisers to start advertising, right, on podcasts in very, very specific areas and also broad. Depending on the different objectives that they have.
Yeah. I mean, I did ask this question previously, and I think this is an important element in the discussion, which is who are the agents that are helping this podcast space ecosystem, are helping podcast content creators monetize, and I guess are encouraging others to join as well. I mean, it's interesting you mentioned Next Broadcast Media. I think recommended it a few times to my clients. I felt like it's very relevant to help brands tap into the space. I felt that the proposition is more compelling. Is there more to do than, I mean, you feel free to elaborate a bit more about NBM, right? Are there any other agents you feel should jump in? Is there more to do in the space to help grow it?
There's always so much more to do, right? Yeah. If you look at what's the share of advertising budget that's being put into podcast versus the traditional media, it's small. But we're seeing growth rates, at least on our end at Next Broadcast, by doubling our revenues from last year to this year, which says it all, right? Mm-hmm. And I think if we double the growth just for the MENA region, then this is massive. And it's because podcasters are shifting to hosting platforms where all the latest advertising technology is on. It is down to advertisers trying to experiment, but also we have probably the world's only self-serve platform. With a caveat, there is Spotify that has a self-serve in a few markets. There's one in Canada, etc. But the true global one is called Ad Manager at Next Broadcast Media. And now we have clients like Dubai Opera using it a few times a week even to set up their tactical campaigns.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you feel like there's a demand there, right?
The demand is absolutely there because it does a job. Now you can really track also the reach.
Yeah.
And let me pick the case of Dubai Opera because it's there's so many unique cases that make perfect sense. So for Dubai Opera, they are it can literally target all classical music podcasts if they have a classical show at their venue across the world and target the listeners in specific markets. Like the UAE, maybe even Saudi, Qatar, etc. So they target these users. If it's a big international show, they might even go into key markets in Europe, etc. So they have one platform that gives them exactly that reach, and it's highly, highly engaging. And it's like a pixel, right? You track literally the conversion.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense. So all Live Nation, all these concert promoters, event promoters, there it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And once they experience it, they fully retain, right? They keep on spending, the spend goes up, right? And then there's thousands of clients that Next Broadcast have now. I think Spotify has more than 5,000 clients now, right? And they all stick. Yeah.
I want to talk about the clients. Like, which category do you see is more invested in audio or podcast?
It is. So I just gave you the example of a brand that wants to act very tactical with the shows.
The automotive?
Dubai Opera.
Dubai Auto Opera. Okay, yeah.
Dubai Opera. So entertainment category?
Yeah.
Very much. However, there's a lot of brands that think really long-term and invest also long-term by podcast.
Yeah.
The tourism sector, right? All the tourism boards are going really strong with comprehensive podcast strategies. You might know a bit about it yourself. But they really think about, like, how do you get the story across about Abu Dhabi, about Dubai, but certain great destinations here in the region. You get involved with, you can even create your own podcast as a show, brand it, but do it in a very subtle way. Think strategic, because this content will live for good and is be seen and reachable for good. So the sooner you start investing, you can build an audience, bring in other guests into the show, etc. But then also tactical, so that people book packages and flights, etc. Once you advertise, and you can go into adventure travel podcasts, you can go into luxury travel, right? The targeting possibilities are really massive and they're truly global, which makes a big difference. But it's not, this is like from brands here in the UAE or in the Gulf markets in MENA. Also, Egypt is growing very fast on the podcast front, but it's also vice versa. So Next Broadcast now represents some global big publishing media houses exclusively to monetize their podcast shows here. And there's global brands that want to reach a global audience that are using the self-serve now to do this. It takes 3 minutes to set up a campaign.
Yeah.
That on its own is a game changer. Pay with your credit card, and you start with smaller budgets. Ah, that's also an important one, because SMEs, there's normally, if you go on radio where there's minimum spend, I don't know how many thousands of dollars. Here with podcasts, you can start with a small budget and see what works for you. Right?
And
the AI that is on the self-serve platform now will help you quickly to find your audience. What can you target? What's the potential reach? And then you press the button, execute your campaign.
Yeah. I mean, there's almost no more excuse, right? To be on podcast.
No, it's not.
I think also agencies and media buyers, media experts are becoming even more and more aware about the space. And obviously, you know, they have a role to play in educating the wider, I guess, advertising community.
Yeah.
But I think that there's always a use case for every vertical. If you need KOLs, if you need people or advocates to talk about your brand, about your product or service, podcast, great. and your audience is very attentive, right? If there's a need to educate, I guess, right? Even if you're a consumer product, podcast.
Yeah.
Again, it's a great way to educate people.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard for me to think of a category that couldn't use podcasts.
Exactly. Another example that I like is the banking or finance industry, right? Mm-hmm. It's quite of a dry matter. We had a few campaigns also from banks in Africa. They said, oh, we want to do a podcast. And we see a lot of brands actually getting it wrong when they start and doing their own podcast, because they think, okay, this is our brand, these are our values, this is what we're going to, we want to be memorable. It's all right. We want to get this all across. You need to think of the audience.
Yeah.
And the long tail of the audience and the long term, right? So you can also change the perception of your brand. All brands thinking about innovation. How do I reach new audiences, new customers? How can I innovate ourselves? So changing the logo is not going to do that job.
Yeah.
So with a bank, for example, we worked with a good agency so that they set up their own podcast production, but they talked about real people's problems. And they don't put the brand of the bank out there. It's more about let people talk about how to set up a bank account. Very basic things for a young audience in Africa, because you don't learn that at school,
yeah.
Believe it or not. Somebody dies in your family. What do you do? How do you deal with inheritance? How do you deal with shifting things over, etc.? How do you prepare, make a will?
Provide
value,
content.
Give something to the audience, to your community. They'll come to you.
Yeah.
Right? How to buy a car? How to finance it? What to believe in? What makes sense? Where's the fine print? How to deal with that? How to navigate about all these things in finance, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they have created this fantastic podcast show that's created such a large following, and the content is always there. It's searchable. It's fully indexed. And it creates real, honest, and authentic advocacy for this brand, because this brand is helping people.
Yeah.
Sounds blunt, but it's really what it does.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, also, just for any brand out there, I think something to mention is just, hey, it's just another touch point. It's growing. It's a way to get incremental reach for your campaigns.
Yeah.
Knowing that other platforms are slowly saturating as well. I mean, it's a great space. We've reached the end of this episode, which I feel sad about. I would have wished that we've gone a little further. But yeah, I mean, this is it.
Wonderful.
Claudius, any parting words?
Thank you, Ibrahim, because there's so much to talk about. And I'm grateful to be in that space. It is definitely the future. I encourage all your listeners out there to trial, experiment, right? The tools are there. Next Broadcast is here. They also have a fantastic team, managed services for brands locally, globally. And every brand can develop and be their own game changer now by adopting into podcast space. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Thank you
for coming to the show.
My pleasure.